From the City of Angels off the Pacific Ocean, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be, across the nation, around the world. I'm George Norrie, and welcome to North America's most listened to late night talk show, Coast to Coast AM. Open lines this hour. I almost lost a friend a few days ago. You'll hear from him in just a second. Next hour, the alien hunter, Daryl Sims. Need I say anything more? But some incredible pictures supplied by Daryl on the coasttocoastam.com website. Take a look at them under feature article. Well, here's some of the news of the day. Well, perhaps you saw, perhaps you heard President Bush tonight in his State of the Union address, hampered by huge budget deficits and the battles in the Middle East. President Bush has called for training 70,000 math and science teachers to improve the nation's competitiveness and has declared that America must break its dependence on Middle East oil. He said that America is addicted to oil, which is often imported from unstable parts of the world. He said as he sought to drive the election year agenda in his annual State of the Union address. The president declared that the state of our union is strong despite Americans' anxieties about the war in Iraq, the economy, soaring energy costs, and rising energy prices. Oil prices are inching towards $70 a barrel, throwing a cloud over the economy and pinching Americans' pocketbooks. The president called for increased federal research into alternative fuels such as ethanol made from weeds or wood chips, including, of course, corn. Bush's address came amid a changing of the guard elsewhere in Washington. Conservative Judge Samuel Alito was sworn in as a new Supreme Court justice, replacing Sandra Day O'Connor. A document obtained by Iran on the nuclear black market serves no other purpose than to make an atomic bomb. Now, this is according to the International Atomic Energy Agency. The finding was made in a report prepared for the presentation to the 35-member nation board when it meets starting Thursday on whether to refer Iran to the UN Security Council, which then has the power to impose economic and political sanctions on Iran. In the brief report obtained Tuesday, however, the agency said bluntly that the 15-page document showing how to cast the uranium into metal was related to the fabrication of nuclear weapon components. And on the Debka file, it's a special website in the Middle East, they are saying that Moscow believes that Iran has developed a large nuclear device in its preliminary stage. And they have therefore decided to agree with us that perhaps sanctions are necessary. Russian intelligence estimates that Iran is now capable of detonating a nuclear device, or in other words, carrying out its first nuclear test. Interesting, is it not? Wounded ABC anchorman Bob Woodruff and cameraman Douglas Voigt arrived in the United States for treatment at a Navy hospital. They were airlifted from the U.S. military base in Ramstein, Germany. They were among 30 patients on a C-17 military evacuation plane that arrived at Andrews Air Force Base. Woodruff and Voigt and three other patients were put on a bus for the National Naval Medical Center in Bethesda. At Bethesda, Woodruff and Voigt are expected to receive treatment for the head wounds and other serious injuries they suffered Sunday in a roadside bombing in Iraq. In Goleta, California, a former postal worker who had been put on medical leave for psychological problems shot five people to death at a huge mail processing center and then killed herself in what was believed to be now the nation's deadliest workplace shooting ever carried out by a woman. The attack Monday night was also the biggest bloodbath at a U.S. postal installation since a massacre 20 years ago that helped give rise to that term, going postal. In Princeton, Minnesota, self-described vampire and Minnesota gubernatorial candidate Jonathan the Impaler Sharkey has been arrested on Indiana charges of stalking and escape. Sharkey is wanted in Indianapolis on charges on which bond has now been set at $100,000. He's 41 years old. He has lived in Princeton, Minnesota since October. He has gained the national limelight with his Friday the 13th announcement of his candidacy for the Minnesota governor under the Vampires, Witches, and Pagans party banner. A few weeks ago, our very own Ian Punnett, who is up there in Minnesota, had a chance to talk with Jonathan the Impaler Sharkey.
I mean, you think you stand a chance of becoming governor of Minnesota as a vampire? Vampire is my way of life. I am more than just a Sang vampire. I am somebody who cares about America. I am a real American.
You're a patriotic vampire.
Correct. That's from my heritage. That's from my father's blood side. Amazingly, not too many people are making a mention about from my mother. My mother was a Hecate witch, that I also follow the ways of Hecate. Apparently, they're just focusing on the vampirism and not on the witchcraft.
Well, Sharkey, among his proposals would be to use impalement to execute murderers, rapists, and terrorists. No word on how this arrest will impact his campaign. Coretta Scott King, who turned a life shattered by her husband's assassination into one devoted to enshrining his legacy of human rights and equality, has died at the age of 78. The widow of the Reverend Martin Luther King Jr. suffered a serious stroke and heart attack last August. Friday may be D-Day, as in Destruction Day, for millions of Windows computer users. That's the day that a pesky email worm is set to detonate its deadly payload. Be careful. Once activated, the worm will corrupt all documents on an infected machine. That means almost all files created using Microsoft Word, Microsoft Excel, Microsoft PowerPoint could be lost forever, as well as raw Adobe Photoshop files, PDF files used by Adobe Acrobat, and competing PDF readers, and several kinds of database and compression files. The worm also tries to disable antivirus software that is out of date, so they simply say, please make sure your software is turned on and has the latest definitions generally available for free from the software vendors' websites. A friend of mine in St. Louis, a well-known radio host, almost lost his life a few days ago. Paul Arca got burned on his hands, elbows, and feet over the weekend when a boom on the station's van struck a power line while leaving a remote at a St. Louis golf show. Arca and a coworker had forgotten to lower the boom, which struck a power line carrying, get this, 7,400 volts of electricity. Paul is on the line with us right now. Paul, how are you feeling, for crying out loud?
Well, George, considering the circumstances that I have a pulse and I'm breathing, all is well.
We have a picture of the van you were in, Paul, under Hot Stories on the coasttocoastam.com website. I understand from Mike Anderson that you were blown out of the van. Is that how that happened?
Yeah, it's absolutely correct. What happened was, the talent, which would be me, we never really ride in a van. The only reason I ever got in it was because it was pouring down rain. It was a heavy rainstorm.
Yeah.
And I hitched a ride to my car across a parking lot. And not knowing that the antenna mast was down because the show was over.
Sure.
I get in it. She drives off. We come to the gate, and sparks start flying, and I think we took a lightning hit. And she looked at me and jumped out and looked up at the mast and said, my goodness, screaming. I left it up. And so I said, well, you did what? And all of a sudden, kaboom, explosion right underneath me.
Oh, my God. And you were rushed to the hospital. I mean, this went right through you, didn't it?
Yeah, it did. I knew I had to get out of there because there was a fire in there and the black smoke rolling. And if I remember correctly, the door was kind of halfway open. So I turned to the side, and I knew I had to get out of there. So I had to put my hand partially on that door to get out of it. And as soon as I did, it blew me about 4 or 5 meters, about 6 feet.
Paul, how are you alive?
There is no rational explanation for that, George, other than what I refer to as divine intervention.
My God.
Well, I went to the top of my head, and, there was an... getting that kind of electrical shock is like being shot with a bullet. It goes through you, and then there's an exit wound.
Everybody needs to take a look at this van. Then they'll get an idea of what really happened to you
just
with
melted.
That picture. Oh, my gosh.
Melted.
Incredible. Paul, I'm glad you're okay. You know, you and I have been friends for years, and I heard about this story a couple days ago. I couldn't believe it. You know, I just talked to you a few months ago. You were in the hospital for something else, and thank God you're doing well there.
Well, I've been through Vietnam, and I was in a rifle platoon. And
You've done it all.
This, that, and, you know, God gave me another day, and I'm grateful for it.
All right. You take care of yourself,
you
Paul.
Too,
that's Paul. Paul Arca, he's a radio host in St. Louis, and he literally almost got electrified. And just go take a look at that van under Hot Stories, coasttocoastam.com. The van is gone, and Paul almost was gone as well. We've got open lines for you for the rest of this hour. Here are the phone numbers. Get ready to go here. West of the Rockies, 800-618-8255. East of the Rockies, 800-825-5033. First-time caller line, 818-501-4721. The wild card line, that's ready for you right now. At 818-501-4109. What's on your mind? I'm George Norrie. This is Coast to Coast AM. And welcome to Open Lines on Coast to Coast. I'm George Norrie, and the phones we go. First-time caller line, you're on the air with us. Hi there.
Hi, this is Renee from Bradenton, Florida.
Hi, Renee. What's going on?
Hey, I've got to tell you, it's very nice to talk to you, first of all.
That's okay. Thanks, likewise.
I listen to your show. I love it. My husband and I, we've been having this discussion for quite a few nights, and the fact that he thinks it's okay to go ahead and take our waste and dump it into space.
Like, and what kind of waste?
Nuclear waste, whatever we can get rid of here on Earth.
Just take it up there and dump it.
And dump it, yeah.
No, I don't like that, because I think eventually it'll come down this way.
Exactly. That's what I'm trying to tell him. And I think we've polluted our Earth already so much. I mean, it was a gift from God, you know, and we've already taken that, we've wasted it, we've used it, we've abused it, and now what we can't take care of here on Earth, he thinks it's okay just to go ahead and put out into space. And I've got to tell you, on July 4th, when we blasted that meteor, I put on two different shoes. I'm a nurse, and I go to work. I put on two different shoes, and I walked around the house, and for 15 minutes before I went to work, I didn't even put my watch on that day. That's the first and foremost important thing.
Why were you so confused?
I didn't know. And then I found out that they blew up that meteor.
You think that had anything to do with your confusion?
I think it did, because there's no, I have never done that in all of my years.
Well, I wonder if we'll get any other calls from people who put on two different shoes.
Well, yeah, I did, you know, and I didn't even notice it until I walked around the house for 15 minutes.
Did you put them on the right feet?
Yes, I did.
We haven't lost you totally then.
No, but, you know, before I walked out of the house, I noticed it. But I just don't think that you can put this stuff up there and it's not going to come back on us at some time.
I will admit that one day, many years ago, I put on two different colored socks by mistake. I mean, they were pretty close, and then the somewhat darkness of a room, you really couldn't tell. But then when you go outside, you could. So, you know, when I was sitting down, you know how your pants go up a little bit so you can see your socks, and I say, and it ruined my day. I mean, my entire day was gone.
Well, yeah, but if I would have walked out of the house like that, I mean, you know, there was something definitely wrong that day. But, I mean, you can't put stuff up into space.
No, I agree wholeheartedly. Thanks for the call. You know, let's clean up the planet, but you can't keep sending that stuff out into space either. Wildcard line, let's go to you. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hey, Mr. Norrie.
Yes, sir.
Hey, this is Joe from San Diego.
Hi, Joe.
I'd like to share a dream with you that I had the other night, if that's okay.
Only if it's a good one and you won't scare us.
Well, you tell me. And I consider this a coincidence, but I know you don't believe in coincidences.
I do not. So what happened to you?
Well, probably two nights ago, maybe three, I had a dream that that I remember pretty clearly. I dreamed that I was watching like a big radar screen of the United States.
It's like that game, War Games, that movie. Remember that?
Right.
Okay.
Pretty much like that. And there was like a blip headed over like the southeast United States.
Ew.
Headed towards over the Gulf, towards Texas. I was told that it was a nuclear missile fired by Russia.
All right.
And it was headed towards like a Clearwater or a Sweetwater, Texas.
How did the dream end?
Well, it basically ended that I was thinking, that's strange that they would target Clearwater, Texas. Then the blip like took like a 90 degrees and headed north and basically ended up zooming in on New York City. And like the last scene of the dream was basically just a mushroom cloud.
Well, let's hope that is nothing but just a very horrible dream. You know, the Russian President Putin said today that they have developed missile technology that nobody has, and apparently he showed it to French President Jacques Chirac. So, but you know what? I have a feeling we've got technology, too, that nobody has seen. As a matter of fact, I know for sure, because I had a lunch meeting today with an individual who is trying to get me some information to release, and I can't say too much about it yet because until I have the information, I'm not going to speculate on it. But it is absolutely mind-boggling in terms of technology. Now, go ahead. You can do all the guessing you want. I'm not going to tell you until I have that stuff in my hands. Next up, west of the Rockies, you're on the air with us. Hi there.
Hi.
Hi.
This is Christina. I'm from Meridian, Idaho.
Hi. What's going
Hi.
On?
Hi. Well, I'm quite Hi. Concerned. I had a dream the other day.
Everybody's dreaming. What's going on here?
Well, this was a very vivid dream, and it was all I heard was the name Molly Ringwald. I don't even know her. I've never even seen her.
Isn't she an actress?
I think so.
I think she was in The Breakfast Club or something.
Well, my son tried to tell me who she was, but I don't really know her, you know.
Why are you dreaming of Molly Ringwald?
Well, her husband beat her up really bad. She was bleeding from her waist and her face and her ears.
You're saying this happened in the dream?
Yes. And I was quite concerned because I've had these dreams before and they've come true, you know, within 2 weeks.
Yeah, well, you know what? I'm going to do a little Google search and have some people do that for us, too. That's one weird dream. I mean, absolutely weird. I've never heard that before. We'll check into it. What more can I say? Let's go next to our wild card line. Welcome to Coast to Coast. It's your turn. Hi there.
Hey, I'm calling from San Clemente, California.
Hi.
Hey, and my name's Thomas.
Thomas, what's new?
Not much, but I was just wondering if you listened to that speech by George Bush.
I not only listened to it, I watched it, I digested it, I took notes from it.
Hey, I didn't really listen to it because I had to take my son to...
Oh, so you want me to relay the whole speech to you?
No, not really, right. But I was wondering if he covered the illegal immigration topic.
No, he did not touch it as much, if at all. There may have been one line in there, but I don't think he touched that at all. Not really. No.
Thought so.
No.
But,
don't remember that.
All right, but how many times has he said that he'll try to secure our borders? Couple times, right?
Sure. Where's your point, though? Where are you headed with this?
Well, I mean, he said that a lot of times, and how much has he really changed? Not very much. We have, like, tunnels being dug, their army crossing our borders with guns, confrontation with our law enforcement officials. I mean, I think he's kind of blowing it with that, and I think that's why his approval ratings are going down.
Well, believe it or not, they kind of went up a little bit this week.
Oh, well, that's a big relief.
You know, they go up, they go down. When there are tough episodes of terror, they tend to go up. When things calm down, they tend to go down. You know, a lot of you saw the speech. You want to comment on it? Go ahead. That's primarily left for those during the day, those shows. I will say this, in terms of just speaking, this is one of his better performances tonight. You know, most of the time he's been stumbling along. He was pretty sharp tonight, and it was acting very presidential. I mean, he was. He did a very good job in his presentation and his delivery.
Now, whether you care to comment on what the guts of the State of the Union address were and whether you think these issues are important enough, that's another matter. But in terms of his pure performance tonight, if you compare him to some of the other speeches that he has given over the last several months, he did a very good job. And, I mean, he was up for it. They fired him up on this one. If you need to email me, that's simple. That's george@coasttocoastam.com. You can do that just about any time you want. Fast Blast is open. Everything's clicking along. We'll be back in a moment. We'll continue with open lines. Next hour, Daryl Sims joins us. He's an alien hunter and a darn good one. So get ready for that one, too. I'm George Norrie. This is Coast to Coast AM. Well, this is at the February push where you get the free CD, an Art Bell interview with the late Father Malachi Martin on exorcisms, scary stuff called Perfect Possession. You get it with your After Dark subscription or renewal, so you can call 1-888-727-5505. Operator's there now, 1-888-727-5505, or go online at Coast2TO, coasttocoastam.com. And my engineering staff has told me that they are almost finished with the complete link so I can do an interview with the devil. So as soon as all that is completed in the words that they used, fired up, we'll be able to start doing that interview. And then I'll probably play it for you a couple weeks from now if I know exactly when I'm going to be doing this thing. And believe me, I've been doing some thinking. I've been a little reluctant. I may ask you via email and Fast Blasts to submit one question on what you would like to ask the devil, and then I shall pass them on for you. And believe me, I am going to be surrounded in light when that moment comes. Let's go to the phones. We'll pick it up by going to our wild card line. Welcome to Coast. You're on the air with us. Hi there.
Yeah, hey, this is Wayne from Kansas.
Hi,
How
Wayne.
How you doing tonight, George?
I'm doing great, thank you.
The reason why I'm calling is big-time fan, been listening to you for several years, and a couple years ago you had a program where you had a guy on your show talking about this ancient medallion that was found in Egypt or something, and then he came missing or something like that.
I think that was William Henry.
Okay.
Pretty sure.
Well, I did some research on the internet, and I found the site ancientmedallion.com. I did some research there, and they're supposed to have some other info on it, and I couldn't find anything more about it. And I was just kind of curious if you knew any more info about it and where I could go to look for it.
You can go to williamhenry.net.
Okay.
And he should have some information for you on that. Also, Stephen Quayle might have some information. Steve Quayle, QUAYLE.com.
Okay. Have you heard any other news about it or
no,
anything?
No updates at all.
Okay. What was the first guy's name again?
WilliamHenry.net or SteveQuayle.com.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay?
Thanks a lot.
All right. Run with
it.
Thanks. First time caller line. You're on the air with us on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hey, George. This is Bill, a first-time caller from Phoenix.
Hey, Bill, what's happening? KFYI land. Good to have you with us.
Yeah. Boy. I didn't think I'd get nervous, but I wish what I'm about to talk about was a dream, like your other callers are calling in on, but unfortunately I was awake.
Oh, no.
And actually, let's start with this. My first word I ever spoke was George. Believe that or not, the neighbor across the street was named George, and he used to come over and play with me and wanted me to say his name before anything else. So anyway, that's just a little laugh tidbit there. But what I want to talk about is the Pluto launch.
Yeah, okay.
And were you aware that, no one is talking about it. Were you aware that it was carrying, they say, 24 pounds of plutonium?
Yeah. Well, we had it. Richard Hoagland mentioned that. He didn't mention the weight. But he did mention the plutonium when that thing finally blasted off.
Yeah, and I missed that, and I was wondering what Richard C. would think of what I'm about to talk about. Because also, it's going, 10 years, and they got, a 36-hour window to do what they want to do.
That's true, but, it's It's up and away, and the thing is at rocket speed on its way to Pluto now.
Supposedly,
and it should get there in, I think, what they say, 9 to 11 months, something like that.
No, 10 years.
10 years, that's right.
10 years, and they've got 36-hour window to get it all in. 9.5 to 10 years, and they're not really exactly sure.
Yeah, 9 months would be a little too fast.
Sounds kind of weird to me, but I was watching it finally take off after the days before it was, you know, shut down, and it finally took off, and they only show the boosters drop off, and then it seemed weird to me, and I'm not a Richard C, but it was taking a kind of a different path. It didn't seem like it was going straight out the ionosphere, but I didn't think of anything of it then, and it could be nothing. But it's they cut it off right then too. They didn't show it any. I mean, it was like maybe a minute they showed, which is kind of strange. So then right after that, I was watching CNN. They cut right from that to guess what? The Bin Laden tape.
Oh,
right?
Great.
And it threw in right away with the Bin Laden tape. Can you say diversion? Here's my little theory. I'm going to kind of ramble, and I want you to tell me your take on it. Maybe,
all right.
Maybe you can clear me up. The Bin Laden tape comes out, and I'm like, wow, what's going on? And then I had a couple TVs going, and I had the History Channel on one of the other TVs, and it was a show on weird weapons. And one of the weapons they were showing was made in 1943. It was amazing, all these old weapons back then. And in 1943, it was a British scientist, I believe, and some of these details might not be right because it's coming from memory. It was called the Tall Boy. What it was an earthquake bomb. And the eerie thing was it was shaped exactly like the top half of the Pluto launch. And it had that, and I've never seen that same kind of, it just looked the same. And what they did with that Tall Boy is they actually modified it to what was called the Grand Slam. And what it did, the modified one could put stuff in it, like, say, something nuclear.
So you think this launch was something else?
I'm concerned that... that this launch, is a modified Grand Slam now with our modern technology, and it's orbiting Earth right now, just waiting for the time, and it can pinpoint an area, and it goes under, it like digs in like 30 feet underground.
Well, I got to tell you, who could dispute you? It's possible.
I mean, it's happening at the same time the Bin Laden tape's on. So who's watching History Channel when Bin Laden tape's being talked about for the first time?
Yeah.
Right, except for me.
That's a good point.
I'm looking at that, and it bores under the ground and then explodes, and it's supposed to, create an earthquake then. Maybe the powers to be, they want to go to Iran. First, I was thinking, now they got Bin Laden as a scapegoat, but...
There are some people who think that we tested some of these bombs in Afghanistan, because after some heavy bombing, they did have a series of earthquakes. So that's... very, very possible. No doubt. Thanks. Let's move on. Wildcard Line, welcome to Coast. You're on the air. Hi there.
How you doing? This is Steve from Sevierville, Tennessee.
Hi, Steve. What's up?
Well, I tell you, George, initially I was trying to get through to tell you that I really appreciate you and Art and Ian. You guys make everybody sound just as important as the other fella. That's a great thing you're doing.
That is the truth. Everybody's important on this show.
Everybody. Yeah, I'm glad you understand that. It's just really great that it comes across. And that's all I was going to tell you, except that when I heard that you're going to do this interview with the devil, I have seen a demon years ago.
What happened?
Well, I was dating a girl, and I was starting to go to church. And she started to go through some serious depression. And one evening I was over at a friend's house, drinking beer and having a barbecue. She pulled up and she said, I need to go over to her place tomorrow and get some of my stuff out of the house. Okay, fine. That Sunday night, I was over at her house and I was talking. She asked me how I was able to do a lot of different things in my life, and I told her that I do depend on the Bible and Scripture and Christ a lot, and just kept on talking. And she told me to just shut up for a second. She held out her hand and told me to touch her hand, and I thought, okay, what's your problem here?
Yeah.
She said, just shut up and touch my hand. And so there was not any great force. I just touched her hand, and all hell broke loose. I had this energy like you're sticking your finger in a light socket.
Oh, my
it was
God.
Going through the entire body. And her face changed from this young woman to a hateful. I have never, ever seen so much hate, so much misery, so many negative emotions. And the face was that of a man. And it was scarred in the face. It was like it had bruises. Not really bruises, but it had that appearance. And I could not break my grip from this. It wasn't a grip. I could not break this contact that I had, just fingertip to fingertip. And it seemed like it lasted for a minute, but what? I'm sure it only lasted for a few seconds.
What did it want with you?
Well, this is the interesting thing. When I finally broke loose, I asked her, you know, she said to me, "What did you see?" I'm sorry, George, I'm getting a little ahead of myself. I don't want to take a lot of your time. When I broke loose, she kind of slumped and let out like that.
Yeah.
Then she said, "What did you see?" And I said, "Are you a demon?" And she kind of chuckled, "No." Well, I don't know what the hell I saw, but it wasn't Linda. And I left. The next day, she called me at work and said that she needs to go see my preacher. Well, I had called him already, and he said, "Get her into my office as soon as you can." When we did get to his office together, I once again relayed what I saw to my pastor. And he said to her, "What did you see?" And she said, "I saw these gold rings, sharp as an edge on the inside and fuzzy on the out, coming out of my eyes toward her and towards the ground." And she felt a spirit enter her and cast that demon out. And she says, "I know it was a demon because she pulled her collar down and showed me a bruise on her neck." She said, "I was going to commit suicide Tuesday.
Oh, my God.
Exactly.
And you weren't even aware of that, were you?
I had absolutely no idea, Joy. Absolutely no idea. But that's what her plan was. So it was, like you said, there is no coincidence. There was a purpose that I knew this girl.
Yes.
It was the spirit that was in me, entered her, cast that demon out, and that was that.
And you took the brunt of the demon.
Oh, it's scared.
That's the thing. You took the. Well, you know, I've been toying with this idea because there's some individuals who claim they can conjure up the devil. And for a talk show host who deals in a lot of things, and I'm extremely spiritual, you know, I wouldn't call myself religious, but I mean, I believe in a higher power, and I believe in the power of us. Collectively, you call it right. Prayer, call it whatever you want. Right. I'm not concerned about battling this thing and chatting with it. And I'm sure it's going to be channeled through an individual. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm not going to see the devil pop. Well, at least I hope I don't.
Right.
I think I have to do it. For some reason, I think it's my mission.
Yeah.
You agree with that?
I understand exactly what you're talking about. But there's nothing that goes on as a coincidence. I think you're probably right, George.
I'm going to go ahead, but I'm glad you're okay, and I assume she's okay?
Yeah, she's fine, and she's a happy person today.
All right, great. Thanks for the call.
Take care.
Appreciate it. East of the Rockies, welcome to the program. You're on the air. Hi there.
Hi.
Hello.
This is Samantha from Tennessee.
Samantha.
Yeah.
Wiggle your nose.
I can, but nothing happened.
Were you named after Bewitched?
Yeah, it was popular. I was born in 67.
I wonder how many Samanthas there are because of that television show.
I don't know. It used to not be real popular, but it's gotten more popular now.
Yeah, it has.
It probably will since the other Bewitched came out.
Yep, Nicole Kidman's.
Yeah, Nicole Kidman's. I think they did a good job. But I called because of Mary Rose Ochino you had on the other night,
mm-hmm.
and she was talking about the Ouija board.
Yes.
And I had a few strange experiences as a child when the Ouija board was real popular back then.
Give me one.
Well, we used to, when I was, it, this house was in Indiana. I live in Tennessee now, but the house was built in 1908. It was a very old house. And we'd play with the Ouija board and try to, you know, do what it do. And we'd put it up because it would scare us. We'd put it in the closet. And we'd bury it in the very back of the closet underneath everything else. And we'd get up the next day and open up the closet, and it'd be sitting out in the open right in the front where,
like use me, use me.
You know, it's like, play me, play me. It was like calling to you. We'd get out and we'd play it again, and it'd freak us out, and we'd bury it again. And it'd pop out and just be there again. And it did it, and we got so scared, and we took it outside and burned it. It was just too freaky for us. We couldn't.
Every time you played with it, though, you might have conjured up some spirit.
Well, that's what we thought, because the story for our house was supposedly somebody had hung themselves in the bedroom that I slept in as a child.
First chapter in my book, which is almost ready to get dished out by the publisher, has to do with a Ouija board story. I don't like those things.
I don't like them now. Well, then it was kind of neat and cool. I thought, oh, yeah, this is cool, but it got scary after a while. And then I had a girlfriend about a month ago or about a year ago find a Ouija board. And she brought it over. She said, let's do it. And I said, let's not get rid of it.
You got it. Hey, thanks for the call.
I appreciate it.
You got it. Let's see. Moving on to West of the Rockies. You're on the air. Hi there.
Hey, how you doing, George?
The world is well so far. Thanks.
All right. I'm out of Orange County. I'm here on KFI with you.
Yeah.
All right. I got a theory or two. I think Howard Hughes was running Area 51.
Why do you say that?
Well, Hughes Aircraft had a lot to do with black projects.
True.
And he had some strange people taking care of him. And they brought a picture out of him after he died. And he didn't look like what they said, you know, long fingernails and all that stuff. And he was so secretive, you know.
Oh, he's very secretive. Last few years of his life, he wouldn't. I mean, he became the biggest recluse.
Yeah, just like Area 51. But who would you call if you had an alien spacecraft, but your top flight engineers? And he was one of them.
He was one of them, yeah. He was one of the few people who probably could have understood it.
Yeah, that's, you know, I've read a few books and, you know, listening, you know, he'd be the one that be running it.
I would have loved to have interviewed that guy.
And he was stationed, well, not based, but he was there at Las Vegas.
He was close. You're absolutely right about that. Who knows?
Yeah. I got another little theory.
What's that?
The Roswell 47.
Yeah.
I think that was a shoot down by a different aliens, two aliens shooting it up.
Well, that's an interesting theory.
Yeah.
Two different alien races from different planets.
Well, yeah, because they found two different ships spread way apart, and then they did, and they have said that there was two different types of aliens they found.
That is interesting. Okay, thanks. Interesting theories. Matter of fact, in a few weeks, Linda Moulton Howe will continue that investigative report. You might remember the White Sands Roswell episode. She, a very compelling story, probably one of the best jobs she's done, and she's done some great, great work. But she's going to have part two of that in a few weeks. I think it'll be February 10th. I'm pretty sure she'll be on that day. She's almost finished with it. And one of her interviews includes a phone call that we had on the air that night she was on a few weeks ago. And she said, you're not going to believe this. So she's very excited about that as well. In a short moment, Daryl Sims joins us. He's an alien hunter, and he's got some incredible stories. Just absolutely staggering credentials as well. If you are lucky enough, fortunate enough to have a computer, get up to the feature article on coasttocoastam.com. Take a look at some of the implants that Daryl has provided us in picture form of what has been extracted from people. It will surprise you, I'm sure. I'm George Norrie. We'll be back in just a moment as the program continues on Coast to Coast AM.